The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome everyone. Welcome to the Lotus Place. This is Alger Zola, Mother Zola, opening up for Black Rose, who's in Detroit. She'll be joining us shortly. I hope everyone had a wonderful Sunday. We're going to have a good show for you tonight. Black Rose is in Detroit, helping out those folks that are dealing with the water situation and with the school situation. Both awful situations, and we're trying to do something about it. And she will share with you some of the progress that they're making there. And in the meantime, we'll go ahead and get started with the show. I wanted to open up with a little information that we all need to know about. It's a war going on out here, and we need some weapons. And I'm not talking about machine guns, I'm not talking about chemical weapons or mind games or systematic weapons, albeit those types of weapons are in fact being used by other entities. I'm talking about the weapons we have within. And believe it or not, these weapons which we came here with are far more powerful than those weapons I just mentioned. Spiritual warfare is what we have at our disposal. We must learn about ourselves. We must, as the quote says, know thyself. Know what you're capable of, where your strengths lie. Others study us more than we do. They know the kryptonite to our superhuman skills, so to speak. Learn something about melanin other than your skin color. Learn why your skin color is such a threat. It's not just the color of the skin. Learn how the most melanin-dominant beings on this planet have the ability to perceive things through the melanin in the eye, all frequencies, that melanin-recessive beings cannot. Learn how this strange life-sustaining brown or black molecule that's in every living thing gives melanin-dominant beings the sharper taste buds, better hearing ability, earlier cognitive skills when given the needed nutrition. The Dodans of West Africa, who have extra melanin in their eyes, continue to baffle the world with their innate abilities to chart the galaxies without our fancy equipment. And they can perceive and relate things to the rest of the world 2 to 3 years before our high-tech machines can pick it up. How are they able to do this? It still baffles everyone. It's because of the melanin. They don't have the equipment that we have. But they can tell the stars and the galaxy. They can tell where they're located. Learn the relation between the Matrix movie and your thoughts. That's a powerful movie. Go back and watch it again. How they chew along with your body, the ants, the sun, everything. Everything, we're all energy. It's all about energy. Learn about your own energy, your chakras, and how they affect everything you feel, everything you think, everything you do, right down to how persecuted, terrorized, unsafe, and unprotected we feel. Learn through our segments here on the Lotus Place about melanin and me. How melanin dominant beings have been following the nutritional guidelines of melanin recessive beings. When scientists have known this for some time, since 1970, about the blood count difference and the T cell difference, as well as the physiological growth and growth spurts that we have. The neurological and earlier cognitive skills are also different. And that we, as black people, melanin dominant people, we possess advanced skeletal and muscular structure that gives us the edge. Learn that despite all these vast and widely known and documented differences, melanin-dominant beings are often treated medically based on the melanin recessive scale, risking our health and, at times, our life. Learn how we can strengthen our bodies with physical fitness and nutritional health tips for melanin-dominant beings, such as ourselves, through our segment of Love the Body, which we will start. As a people with the most concentration of this dark and mysterious molecule, that we require different nutrition for proper melanin production to take full advantage of this powerful weapon that we possess inside of us, that we came here with. Also learn how the eyes play such a magnificent and crucial role for us. Oh, they're not just for vision, by no means. Join the conscious revolution here on the Lotus Place and arm yourself for the freedom you are entitled to as your birthright on this earth as every other human being. So tune in to the Lotus Place Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, where we feature lively and sometimes controversial conversation on hot topics like Axe Delta, Mind, Body, and Spirit, Melanin and Me, Love the Body, and more. Take what you like, leave the rest on the plate, because we're just serving it. So welcome to the Lotus Place. We're glad you're here. We've got some great news for you. And stay tuned for all that we have for you for tonight. We're going to do Love the Body. I'm going to give you some nutritional tips, how we can strengthen our body nutrition-wise. There are a lot of foods out there that we keep in our kitchen on a regular basis that are just packed with nutrition. So I want to share those with you. I want to share some of the hot topics. Delta Cougar will be on shortly, and we will have her ask Delta Cougar. Letter, Delta, are you there?
Yes, I'm here tonight. Hi, everybody.
Great. Namaste, my love. How are you?
Doing just great. Just great.
Great. So you got some hot topics for us?
Oh, you know I do.
Of course you do. You keep your nose in the news. Keep us up to date with what's going on out there, what these people are doing on a regular, constant, every day, every minute basis.
Yeah, we got so many crazies out there. You know
I know.
So many different stories. But our first story tonight is coming out of Memphis.
Oh, my hometown. Lord have mercy. What are they doing there? Glad
Memphis.
I got out.
In Memphis, this little 18-year-old girl, and I don't have her name because I didn't see her name in the article. They just referred to her as an 18-year-old minor.
Oh,
but they got a picture
up
there, and she was liking a boy,
mm-hmm.
and she was liking this boy, so I guess this boy was two-timing her with another girl.
Well, that's normal.
This young lady was so upset. She got a gun and killed the boy that was, you know, the young man.
Oh, wow.
Then she turned around and she killed the girl that was in the car with him.
Oh,
and the
no.
girl and the girl was expecting a baby from him.
Oh, no.
So really, they charging her with 3 first-degree murders.
Triple homicide.
Yeah.
Well, she won't be a minor long.
No, because they're gonna try her as an adult.
Yeah.
And that's coming out of Memphis. That is just
wow.
It's just horrible the way our young people feel. And then listen, from the great state of Mississippi, in my state, the great state.
Oh my goodness, they hit both of us.
Oh yes, I got 2 coming out of my state.
Ooh.
We got, this happened Saturday night, and we have 2 young boys. They did not state their name because they 16 and 15. They are black because my friend girl told me it happened over by her way. The 2 young men got in a fist fight, and one went home. Well, one went to the car and retrieved the gun. And you remember when we was kids coming up in school, and we told some, when we call ourselves having a school fight, we tore some clothes and pulled some hair, and oh, we
yeah.
were so happy.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was happy
we were duking.
But now young kids today take it to a whole different level.
They don't know how to duke.
They just don't even know how to talk it out or anything. They just resort to violence.
Yeah.
Well, the young man, the 15-year-old boy, was fighting him and a 16-year-old boy in Biloxi, Mississippi, and they were fighting, and the young man got mad because he got beat up. He walks to his car and get a gun and come back, put the gun to the young man's head and pull the trigger and kill him. But the sad thing about it is, I want to know, how did a 15-year-old be walking around with a gun?
Oh, that's
that is just crazy.
It's crazy, but it happens all the time. They can get guns easily now. You know,
it is so sad.
It is.
Uh huh.
In our day, I mean, if you had a knife, you were considered dangerous. You in a different breed. You know.
I know. Oh, I know. That was, you know, you just didn't do nothing back then like that. And really, back then when we was coming up, you didn't want to do anything to embarrass your mother and father, because that's the way we was raised.
Your mother, your father, your next door neighbor, the person next to that person.
You did not want to embarrass them.
No.
You know, you didn't want to do nothing to get your name out there to be embarrassed. Well, you know, it's just sad. That's the way it is. But, well, now let me move to the next case. And this one, I think, was in Poplarville, Mississippi.
What?
Poplarville. Listen, now, it's like right on the other side of Biloxi. These are some rednecks. It's called rednecks. I mean, I'm calling them that. They white boys. They call them rednecks. They call themselves rednecks. But anyway,
excuse me. Just
they
a
had
moment.
They own a gun shop.
Is that Mother Dunny?
And
Mother
a man took his gun there to go have it repaired. And him and his father went to pick his gun up. And they got to arguing with the lady. Now, listen, about $25. Arguing with the lady about $25. They did not want to pay the $25, so they was arguing. So the lady called her husband from which up, you know, she was at the shop by herself, so I guess she called her husband, you know, you need to come down here. They arguing with me, it's getting out of hand. So these 4 rednecks got guns, and this is what I say. this is what the people want. They all want to get on board about guns and toting guns. And see, people don't realize when you go to toting guns like it's not anything, you got yourself nothing but some trouble, puny trouble. So they came down, the later husband came down with his. Hello?
I'm here, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, because it said muted and then it said unmuted. The later husband came down with his, with her son, then another one. Him and his son was already there. These four rednecks began to argue at the gun shop. So they pulled a gun.
This is Scotty, the engineer of the program, of the station for Black Talk Radio. I'm sorry to interrupt and mute everyone, but area code 414. I had to mute your line because we can't hear the hot topics. So that's why.
What that noise is.
Yeah,
okay.
So that was coming off 414. That's why I muted that line. So
apologies
for interrupting, but just trying to preserve the quality of the programming.
Thank you, Scotty.
And see,
all right,
can you hear me?
Mm-hmm, yes.
My state, Mississippi, just passed a law last year. And, you know, they really, really hate Obama, my state. And, you know, my state is considered the Ku Klux Klan of the land. And and the slavery of the land, whatever you want to call it. But mm-hmm. I must say I don't have any problems here, so I must be fair. I do not. But anyway, they went down to this gun shop and they got into a gun battle. A gun battle.
I imagine so. What a gun shop.
Over $25. Well, two is dead. A man and his son is dead. And another man and his son, they fighting for their life. They life flight one to New Orleans. And a life flight one to Mobile, Alabama. So this is what I'm saying. It's some crazy stuff happening. Now that is, to me, is just crazy.
Wow.
Then we have
But
think about it now. They always want to pass these gun laws, and these white folks want these guns in their hand, and these folks get heated. They over $25. Two people are dead over $25. That is ridiculous.
And
two
that's
fighting
crazy
for their life.
Over $25.
Okay. I mean, that to me, that is over $25. And then, like the black teenagers pulling the gun and putting it to another child's head, over a little fist fight. And executing them, we need to think about all these gun laws. I know we can't stop a lot of this, and gun laws ain't gonna stop a lot of this because crooks gonna get a gun no matter what.
Yes, so just like they did when they had the liquor prohibition when it was against the law to have liquor. I mean, liquor was flowing. it was flowing nevertheless because people will find a way to get what they want. And there's always going to be somebody out there who can get it. And it's going to be available. And there are so many, I want to say powerful people, but so many people who have a lot of pull who are for the gun laws. You know, they want their guns. They say a lot about blacks, you know, shooting up people, you know, shooting up each other and all of that. But from my experience, Europeans love guns a lot more than blacks do. They love guns. They invent. That's one thing they did invent. They are responsible for that. Gunpowder. They didn't invent too many things. But they did invent gunpowder because they love their guns. They love the guns. They take their kids out on these little field trips, and they're like 10, 9, you know, out there learning how to shoot. It's their thing.
Like the little,
it's their thing.
Like the little 10-year-old girl, remember back here during the summer, where the little 10-year-old girl, they the father took her out to the gun range to teach her how to shoot a semi-automatic weapon. And you remember she lost control of it and killed the instructor?
Yes, I remember. I think, didn't you tell us about that?
And you know, yeah, and it was all over CNN News. It was all over CNN News. People like that, I don't feel sorry for them. Why would you, now you know who I feel sorry for? The child, because the child going to be messed up. Why would you take a 10-year-old child out there and expose her to that? And she wind up killing the instructor by accident.
Was it really by accident? That's what they reported to you. The child might have said, "I'm tired of y'all teaching me this terrible stuff. I'm getting you."
Oh,
who knows?
You know what I was thinking, Mother?
I hadn't thought about it like that.
You know what I was thinking, Mother Hattie? I'm glad you interjected that, because when Mother Douglas said, you know, that I feel sorry for the child, she's got to live with that. We don't really know where that child's mind is.
We really don't.
I mean, because they're not like people we know, you know, because they've been trained to use guns from little tots, and so they may not look at it like we do. They may not say, "Oh my Lord, I killed somebody." Oh, they be like, "Oops, oops."
Yeah,
oops. You know. Oh well.
But I actually heard that the Chinese invented the guns and the gunpowder. Now I don't know.
Really? Really? I have to look that up.
It says originally, I think they did. Now, maybe there is during the 13th century.
Mm-hmm.
And gunpowder. Now, you know how folks go and steal stuff from everybody.
I was just getting ready to say people steal.
I know the white man.
But I know it wasn't. I know it wasn't we. It wasn't we. We were busy coming up with paper and writing and math and music and dance and, you know, agriculture. You know, black women in Africa invented agriculture. So we did some good things, but gunpowder, we're not going to take that one.
Okay.
We'll let the Europeans and the Asians fight over that.
And this is just a really violent world that we live in now, and violence is... seem to be the way that everybody solves problems. Even look at the military might now. Militarily, that's what do we do? What do? We don't resolve issues anymore, other than through what? War.
Violence. Yeah.
War.
Yep.
Even in this country, it's getting more and more violent. And the movies have gotten more and more violent. Even the cartoons have gotten more and more violent. And so why would we expect the children and the people not to be more violent?
You know, and also the games that they have for sale, Mother Hattie. I'm just appalled. I was over at someone's house, it's been about maybe 8 years ago, and... You know, I just was visiting, and while they were in the back, the little kids were up front, and they had this game on, and I'm just kind of clueless to some of the stuff that's on, you know, out there right now, because, you know, I try not to tune into too much TV, but anyway, these two kids were playing this game where they had the guns, and then they would shoot up something, somebody, bang, bang, bang. Then they rob somebody, bang, 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 bang. And they go like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was my first time seeing it. You know, I'd heard about it, but I had never actually seen it because I'm not around, you know, kids like that. And it was, I just shook my head. I said, wow, is this what they do? Well, it's no wonder. It's no wonder we're training them.
Yeah.
And these games sell like hotcakes.
Why are you expecting anything
absolutely.
Different?
Can I get this other hot topic in? Let me tell you about this one. Now, this another gun violence.
Flabbergast us more.
I mean, this is gun violence. You know, it's a black mother, young mother, that was 29 years old. Her name was LaTanya Jackson, out of Pittsburgh. She goes to the club, and, you know, nothing wrong if that's your thing, that's what you choose to do. You know, I don't knock it. But to me, if you got kids 8, 9, and 6, you know, young kids, you need to be home to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? Times have changed. The young folks don't go out now. They started getting dressed to go out at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They starting to get dressed to go out that time of night. But anyway, this young lady went out and to have a nice time, and the man asked her, his name was Charles asked the Jackson lady for a dance. She refused, told him no, she didn't want to dance, and she was a nice looking young girl. She didn't want to dance with him, and he, you know, he an older guy, and he was so mad with her. Because I guess, you know, she's sitting in front of her friends, you know, rejected him, told him no. He followed her to her car and pulled out a weapon and shot her dead in her chest and killed her.
Wow.
And that, see what I'm saying? It's just senseless murder stuff going on. It just don't make any sense. How can we stop these? Everybody want to know, how can we stop these senseless murders? You can't stop them. Because you know what? It's sad to say, I even told my husband, I said, when you go to church, you need to take your gun. I'm sad to even say that. No, but I'm being honest.
Wow.
I am being very honest. You need to take your gun and put it in your waist.
Wow.
Take your gun. If not, we need to get a holster for your gun.
Wow.
And it's sad because you go to church, you sit up in church, you don't know what's going to bust through those doors. You really don't.
Yeah. Yeah, like the situation in Carolina.
And you need to be able to protect yourself. You're sitting up in there and you don't have no gun or anything. So, it may sound harsh, but now I'm going to be honest. If you run up on me and my husband in church and think you're going to just, and if we could get in our purse or get there, he get in his waist, we're going to handle you back. I'm going to handle you before I let you kill up the church. Not only the church, anybody that's innocent.
Well, my goodness. Well, you know what? I'm in real good physical shape. I'm going to hit that floor so hard, I'm going to seem like I'm melted into the floor. Nobody's going to shoot me. The minute I feel something going off, I'm just up. Because I can't do the bang, bang, pow, pow thing. I just can't.
Oh, well, I can. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I can. I'm just being honest. I don't want to hurt anybody. But I'm not going to let somebody come in and destroy my life, my grandkids' life, my husband's life, and innocent people sitting up in there. I can't do that.
So you said your husband now is the armed security at your church. What's wrong with that?
Well,
I think people are armed
security. Nobody knows it's there.
So he's not officially security. He's a member.
He's just a member, but nobody knows he's there. And like my husband say, what about the 9 people that were sitting in the church? My husband said that if they'd have had a gun, they'd have been straight too. They'd have been able to protect themselves. It's a possibility that they would have been able to protect themselves.
But then, what if you got three or four people with guns?
But see, this is what I'm saying. Everybody tote a gun ain't crazy. Now, we not taking a gun to church to go and harm anyone.
Of course.
Anyone. Nobody never would never know the gun is there. The gun, we have a, you know what I mean? You can
well, okay, let me give you a scenario. So you're sitting up in church, and you know the pastor's doing his regular thing, and then all of a sudden you hear a gun go out, pow pow. Okay, so y'all are packing. So what are you going to do? What are you and Papa going to do?
You want to make sure you see
Papa.
We hear Scott is talking.
Oh, that's Papa. No, that's Papa.
Papa's talking.
Go ahead, Papa.
The preacher's gonna be the first one out. He told things just dope.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Well, what are you
we
gonna do,
seen
Papa?
Seen it happen before. We ain't had no gun. We seen somebody coming out one day and jumped on the wire. That was for our window. A shoulder right there. And he come in there and jumped on his wife, and the dick was back there by the door, and they ain't done nothing.
He was beating her in church?
Well, Papa went in there. I don't want that broken.
That's news. That's news. why can't we hear about that, Mother Dottie? That sounds like some hot topics to me.
That was an incident a long time ago.
But it's a hot topic. It's a hot topic.
It was a long time ago that something happened where this man came in the church and jumped on his wife. And the deacons didn't do anything.
But see, that didn't have anything to do with the gun, though. They could have just jumped in and used
it. No, they didn't have nothing to do with no gun. But
they could have helped her.
No, they didn't do anything to help her.
Okay.
Only the women stepped up to help.
Always.
The women stepped up and the women stepped up and helped that situation.
Wow.
But now the only thing I'm saying is, I'm not a person. I'm not a violent person. Anybody know me? I'm a very quiet person. I do talk, but only if I get to know you. Now, if I get to know you, I'll talk to you. If I don't know you, I'm not gonna talk. I'm not gonna do a lot of talking. I'm more reserved.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if I just feel like if you go to church, so much is happening now, and if somebody busts in, you got to be able to protect yourself. You're not going in to harm anybody. And so what I'm saying about responsible gun owners being responsible, that's the problem.
Well,
you got to be responsible.
Well, what I'm trying to say is if somebody comes in shooting and you have a gun, are you just going to shoot back? Even though they're not necessarily shooting at you, they're just shooting.
Yeah, you want to shoot back to try to kill them. I want to kill them. And my goal is, if they come in the church house and they random coming in and killing people, yes, my goal is to shoot back to kill them.
But don't you think that would be what they call a gun fight?
Well,
it's going to be a gun fight.
Well, he brought the fight to me. No, he brought the fight to me.
That's called self-defense.
Who are you trying
to
kill, Delta?
Delta says,
here's Black Rose. Hello, Black Rose. Namaste, hey. Namaste.
Namaste.
That topic going on right now. We're talking about shooting up in church. Shoot them up, bang, bang. Delta Cougar says that she's going to take her and Papa are going to have a gun in church, and so if somebody comes up in church, shooting, then she's going to whip it out and go bang, bang, back right at him.
Y'all shooting up in the house of the law. Lord, how much?
No, you not. No, you
Christian. It is the house of the Lord.
What I'm saying is, we're not going to shoot just to be shooting and pulling something out to hurt somebody.
But you just said you're going to kill them.
Yes,
you just said you're going to kill them.
I will kill them because I will. You don't have a choice. Okay, look how them Barton, the man went up in there and killed them 14 people.
I know, but everybody can't be packing in church because you got some people who are, as
you
said.
Everybody can't be stupid setting up in church either. You can't be stupid setting up in there and don't have nothing to protect yourself either.
Ooh, Lord.
But
well,
you want to go up in it to where, you know, now Dales is in the South. And in Texas.
Yeah, she is in deep South.
Anywhere. So, you know, that's
my Papa have something he want to say.
Come on, Papa.
Hello.
Hey, Papa.
Hey.
How are you?
Great.
I'm kind of white. And I don't go around starting trouble, but I've had a jury to tell me. And what would you do if you was in like a club or something like that, or if you were in a club and someone come in there and pull a gun and start shooting people, then, and you were in this club and you shot back to try to keep the harm of somebody else, what would you do? Would you shoot back?
If I had a gun, I would shoot back.
Let me say that. I was in that situation. I ran a club years and years ago before I met Darcy. Okay. And the judge told me, this is a judge here, asked me, say, you know what I should do? He said, I should send you to prison because you didn't kill him. And this is what the judge told me. He said, you didn't tell me you won't come up and you won't let somebody come up in your shop and shoot your place up, and you didn't try to kill him. I told you, I said, judge, I wasn't trying to kill him, but I say, I didn't know I was the boss.
Get up
and
come get your suit, you asshole.
You know, and then again, I've been in prison just like
let
that.
Let me make that suit down.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to make sure they know I know what I'm doing.
So you would pull out your gun and you would protect your
patron.
Yeah, my
papa would pull it out.
Papa
handling his business. Look, hear me good. Papa not going to bother nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But when Papa ran his club, he had to do what he had to do to protect his patrons and his club. So Papa
had
a
reputation. That.
He had a reputation. If you come to his club and you start mess, you're going to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
And so once he built his reputation up, it was not to be evil or whatever. It was to let the people know when you running a club, you can't come in here and start nothing. Because if you come in here and start something, you're going to get handled.
And then if you don't handle it, then other patrons would take the assumption that, well, I can't go in there because they just let people come up in here and go wild and shoot up. And there's no protection. So that I can understand.
I can too.
I'm a little concerned about the guns in the church. But some of these pastors, they come up in there shooting their parishioners because they having relationships with these women. And
really?
Here in Detroit, that happened in Louisiana. No, not Louisiana. Well, yeah, Louisiana. I think it was St. Charles, Louisiana. The man came into the church. I think he ran his car into the church. Up in the pulpit and then jumped out and beat the pastor to death because he was having an affair with his wife. So they cut up in church. So I don't know, Delta, you might need a gun in down here in the South.
And then can I give my last hot topic? We done had three incidents. Two of them out, one in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and the other is in Mobile, Alabama. Can I give you the first one in Hattiesburg? The preacher, a young man, let me tell people something. When you have children that's kind of withdrawn and you know your kid hadn't been acting quite right, you know just something that's off, but you can't put your hand on it. Please pay attention. The young man had been going to this church, his family and all of them, for years. And the mother noticed the young man was kind of withdrawn, her son. So the little boy went to church, and the preacher, he was 15 years old, and the preacher was up preaching. The young man stood up before the congregation and told the congregation, "I can't take it anymore. I can't stand to hear him preach. I can't take it anymore. He's been raping me for years and years.
Years.
And they
arrested
How
old was the young
preacher.
Man?
He was 15.
Oh.
And he said it had haunted him and haunted him, and he couldn't take it anymore. And he said his mother and father and everybody was coming to the church laughing and smiling, but they didn't realize what the damage the preacher was doing. So the young man, so my thing is, I'm saying on one of our hot topics, when we see our children have mood swings and change and stuff, we need to find out why. Okay, then we have another case, and this is one that you wouldn't believe, but it's true. You can pull it up. And I have it on my Facebook page. There was a preacher, a prominent preacher in Mobile, Alabama, had a large congregation, got a nice-looking wife. He was having sex with girls under the age of 12, and he was having sex with the girls in his congregation. His wife would go and get the girls, like she mentoring the girls, and bring the girls to the preacher to have sex with.
So she was aware of this?
She was aware of it. So they arrested the preacher and his wife. And we need to take heed and start to, paying attention what's going on in our communities and in our neighborhood. Because we got some preachers in they really put themselves out to be a lamb, but they really a beast, hiding under lamb clothes. And so we need to start paying attention. And those are you know, my hot topics. But it's just sad, for the last week or so, I have heard of 6 different cases dealing with preachers, and this is something we never heard of. It would always used to be white preachers. Every case that I have seen and heard about on the news, it have been black pastors. This is our community is going through a change, and we as people in the community, we need to step up and start paying attention and being watchmen for our community, because now we got a lot of preachers are using it the wrong way. And those are my hot topics for the night.
Well, thank you so much, Delta, for sharing your hot topics, and thank you, Mother Zola, for opening up for us tonight, and Delta Cougar. Mother Hattie hasn't spoken to you in ages. Oh my God, I miss you, Mother Hattie.
Oh, I'm back then.
Yeah, yeah, I'm telling you. So, what else is going on? This is Black Thought Sunday. Have we had our mind, body?
Well, I can tell you what's going on. I don't mean to take over tonight, girls, but I have a lot to read.
Oh, we haven't had our break. We missed our break.
Ooh.
And our Jada Pinkett Smith. We want to be sure to
talk
go
about
into
that.
It about the Black Oscars. And I'm one of the ones will not be watching. I ain't watched it no way.
Right, right.
I've been quit watching it years ago.
Let me share my thoughts on that, and I'd like to hear from everybody else. And I also want to, you know, I am here in Detroit, been here for the past 3 weeks working on the DPS, Detroit Public School System, the sick outs that the teachers have been experiencing or organizing because of the deplorable conditions of the school, in addition to the Detroit public school system just blatantly stealing money, it's just horrible. I'll go through an update on that. And also a timeline of the Flint water crisis. So I've been here for the past 3 weeks dealing with all of this stuff, and it's just been crazy. I mean, I have to keep saying, pay attention to what's going on here in Michigan, because it's coming to a city and state near you. If we don't stop this right now, what's happening in Michigan, this is crazy. It is unreal. You talk about South Africa apartheid. Come here to Detroit, and you can see it in vivid color. It's vivid right here in Detroit, Michigan, in Flint, Michigan, Inkster. I mean, it's pretty much all over Michigan. It's a complete separation. I'm staying in downtown Detroit. It's pretty nice, you know. It's just nice, clean places to go. You see the money flowing. But as soon as you venture off from Greektown and this downtown Detroit area, it's like South Africa apartheid. It's just like a stark difference. The contrast is unbelievable. So many other people here, and particularly the black people, they're just living in poverty. The houses are burned down. The houses are abandoned. You can drive down the street, and it's just one abandoned house after the other from people that have left, been forced to leave because they didn't have any work, crime, just everything. It's just horrible. I've never seen anything like this before. Never, ever. So I do want to share an update with that. But back to what Mother Dunning with Delta Cougar brought up about Jada Pinkett. We talked about this earlier this week. I totally agree with Jada Pinkett Smith. And I also just, speaking of what she said, okay, so Jada Pinkett is calling for a blackout, a boycott of the Oscars, which most of us been doing anyway, Miss Jada. You the one that's in Hollywood. Let me just make that clear. We already blacked out the Oscars. I mean, your husband and your buddies, you know, pretty much still been participating because that's their career. That's their life. I'm not knocking that. I understand. But I think that with the money that Will and Jada and Oprah and Denzel Washington, Forrest Whitaker, the Akils, Spike Lee, some of these unknown millionaires and billionaires, the athletes, all of these people, they can come together and put some more Image Awards together, and the NAACP Awards. They can come together and put some more of these types of award shows together.
They
don't even have to go to the Oscars. Why are you begging them to acknowledge your
honor you
anyway?
Yeah. Right.
That's the problem. You want these people to acknowledge your craft. Go ahead on and pat your own self on the back. Halle Berry. These people have enough money to put together their own production. In fact, I do have to agree with what's her name? The one that used to play the mom, Vivian something. I think her show name was Vivian. I can't think of her real name. I'll try to pull that clip up. But like she said, that Will and Jada, they have their own production company, but they only produce movies for themselves and their friends. So why don't y'all get together and put something together for the rest of these people? I do have to commend Tyler Perry because he did come together and put a whole studio together where he was able to bring in new faces, new talent, people that we had not seen before. Like even this, I think she's Mexican or Colombian. What's her name? She's a big time actress now, and she played Angela Bassett's friend on one of those Tyler Perry movies. Now I think she may even be in the $20 million club now. So she became famous off of one of Tyler Perry's films. So, I mean, we have enough clout. We have enough people to do this our own. I'm so sick and tired of black folks begging another group of people to acknowledge them and accept them. If people accept you, fine. If they don't, that's fine, too. Keep it moving. You know, but I understand that slave mentality. I do. I truly do. But we have got to break out of that. So I do support the blackouts. I won't be watching Oscars, as I have not in many years. So
me either.
Those are my thoughts, because the same people win Meryl Streep. She always wins for some film that nobody never heard of, and then next thing you know, she has an Oscar for it, and you're like, oh, really? When did that come out, and what was it about? But she always wins Best Actress or whatever.
She should, yeah,
she always wins. It's like she, you know, has some type of internal hookup where she's able to win no matter what. I don't care what person goes see that film, she still wins. How is that? So they already letting you know what the deal is. So I'm
exactly. Have been
those.
For a while.
Yeah,
they have been for a while.
I wouldn't worry about it. Delta, what are your thoughts?
And my thoughts is that I agree with both of them. Like when Jada Pinkett said that we need the broadcast, the lady, I can't remember her real name, but all I remember is Angel. Angel came out, and she got so much hatred built up against Will and Jada. Because Will, it was something to do with her salary, and Will.
Well, I think she felt like she should be paid more because she was older, a more seasoned actress than Will, and Will came in as a rapper. But it was his show. It was his show, not Will. You know,
and
that's what that whole thing
and
was.
And so that's what the beef really started about. But anyway, she was saying that they didn't give a so-and-so about none of this until her husband didn't get an Oscar. He didn't get nominated. He didn't get nominated. And she said that's what he got mad. They got mad about. But she says that where was they at all these other times? When long as they was getting something out of the deal, they kept their mouth closed. But Will Smith did an interview, and I'm going to back up and go back because I'm thinking about his interview. Now, he did an interview on Good Morning America. He says that really he did not know his wife was going to do that and put it on YouTube, but yet he said he's not going to go against his wife, and which is right. Then he says it's something needed to be said. He said, even though it all started out, they asked him a question, do it feel like it come from you not getting an Oscar? I mean, getting nominated. He said, yes, that may have something to do with it. He said, but really, it's something that's been building and infesting down there all the time. He said, and this here just really brought it to a head. So I feel like this, Aunt Via, you keep your mouth closed. Because if you was making money and getting money, you wouldn't be saying anything either. But there, they have, like she said, they come and they came and they took a stand. Now, let everybody get on board. And then Jada came back and made another announcement. They caught her as she was coming out of the airport, going to the airport or wherever. But she made a statement, and I agree with her statement 100%. She said, when it was Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, she said, down in Alabama, she said they had a rally for the Ku Klux Klan. And she said the Ku Klux Klan registered more people than they have registered in a long time. Then she named another state, I can't remember the second state, where the Ku Klux Klan was. They had a big rally on Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. She's saying, if they can come together, she said, why we can't come together? She said, that's our downfall. She said, that is our downfall. So I agree with her. Okay, however it come about, if we didn't get an Oscar, so be it. If that's what it took to make a change, so be it. Now they trying to bring in big fat Oprah Winfrey. and I don't mean it in a bad way. Oprah be silent. She don't say anything. She got a lot of clout, her and Tyler Perry. And then and the boy that just made the movie Straight Outta Compton, I forgot the young man that's playing in there. I can't remember his
name. Ice Cube's son. I don't know what his name is.
Ice Cube. I'm talking about Ice Cube.
Okay.
Ice Cube, like they said, he won't even say anything. Long as you making money and filling your pocket, you got an Uncle Tom nigga gonna keep his mouth closed. Long as the white man fat in his pocketbook, but they gonna be fine, they ain't gonna say anything. But now it's time for us to come together as a race of people. Now they bringing in Oprah, trying to make a change, and begging Oprah to come and present an award and make a change. So, no, I agree with Jada Pinkett. Smith. It's time for a change. It's time.
Well, I think what really got them off was that every award was all white nomination. There was no people of any color in there. Everybody
yeah.
that's nominated is all white. It's White Superior Day. It's, yeah.
But was this the same thing that happened last year almost? Because they said another year, another White Lily year.
Yes, they said it happened last year.
Last year they was complaining about the same thing. Like I always said,
so think about it. That's true.
Of black folks complaining about the same thing over and over, and they don't do nothing. They've been complaining about the Oscars all
Pity
life.
Squat.
Like you said, they said it.
Well,
last
even
year.
Hollywood period.
Yeah.
You look at it, and what do you see? You don't see a true reflection of the world. Period. No
and look at
reflection.
All the talented black actresses out there that are being overlooked. I mean, it's just amazing how much talent is out there.
Yeah, well, thanks to Tyler Perry, some of them are getting ahead somewhere, and they're doing their thing in his program, and he's not complaining because he's doing his thing, and
he's not complaining, but him and Oprah are keeping silent. They keeping silent because they got some white audience too, and they don't want to rock the boat. But the white man won't only rock the boat. He'll throw your black you know what out the boat, then take your black you know what and hang your behind from the boat. So these niggas need to wake up. Think about it. He'll drag your behind the cup.
Sure will.
Don't bleed. Go to Texas. Go to Texas.
Go anywhere.
You go anywhere in the world, honey.
You
this
go anywhere.
Anywhere in the world. It ain't
that was just
Texas.
The most recent important.
Not about sure. The South. It's not about anywhere in the world.
Come together. Don't get me started tonight. Now, y'all have made the devil rise up in me. Hallelujah. Y'all made him rise up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? You get tired of being pushed down. What? Can somebody on this thing on the line tonight answer this one question? Why we can't come together? Why as black folks, why we can't come together? Can somebody give me an honest answer and
fear.
Say why?
Fear.
We hate each other.
Fear.
We have been
selfish.
Turned against each other.
Greed.
There are multitude of problems as to why we can't come together. And as I stated
trust,
before, we
lack
have a
of it.
Thank you. We have a completely different experience from anybody else
in the world.
In the
yes.
world, period. We just
brainwashed.
Yeah, we've been brainwashed. We've been forced to think in a way that we dislike each other, dislike ourselves. That's number one. We dislike ourselves. Yeah, we have this inner dislike that's been ingrained in us to just not appreciate our own beauty and self-worth. So, yes, we go against each other. So we can't continue to just say, oh, well, you know, why can't we come together? There are a number of reasons as to why we can't come together. But eventually, we
will. Well, why we haven't come together.
Why, thank you. Why we haven't. I was trying to correct that. Thank you, Mother Hattie. We can come together, but we got to overcome some of these issues that we have. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll do a mind, body, and spirit and pick back up on Black Thought Sunday and what's on your mind. So let's see here. Let's just take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us here at the Lotus Place.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Right, and we're back here at the Lotus Place. You can call in and share your thoughts with us. The number to dial in is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Press pound. Code is 549032. Press pound and then press star 61 if you would like to offer a comment. So, Mother Zola, do you have a mind, body, and spirit for us?
I certainly do. This segment of mind, body, and spirit is on what we're going to call love the body.
Love the body.
Our bodies are like vehicles that we are using, our spirits are using while we're here on earth. And if you think of it as the way you would think of your vehicle that you drive, you purchase a car, you have the maintenance done, for some people they have preventive maintenance, they do the regular oil checks, when your car starts to kind of shaking a little bit, you go see what's going on with it. Or you just ride around and just hope that it'll go away. My brother used to always tell me, you know, your car needs more than gas. You know, you got to put oil in it. You got to check the tire.
Oh, you went on mute. We can't hear you.
Yeah. Have we got our letter?
Yes, I'll pull it up shortly. I'm getting it all together. Aja, we can't hear you. Okay, while she's getting that together, let me play this quick clip. Try to give her a couple of seconds.
Oh. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did everybody else hear that?
No, we lost you.
Oh, okay. All right. So what I'm trying to say is we must treat our bodies as some people treat their cars, because they want their cars to last a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They do preventive maintenance. They do their regular oil checkups, and they do things like that. So with our bodies, we need to take care of our bodies so that it will last as long as it's meant to last. So I have some items here, the things that some of you may have already in your spice rack. It's called medicine in your spice rack. And this is why these medicines or spices, actually, if you use them regularly, they will help to keep the doctor away. So some of them actually will fight weight loss, so that's always important to the ladies. So here are some of them, everyday spices. And they not only add a wonderful flavor to your food, but they're packed with amazing health benefits. Number one, vanilla. I love vanilla. You can put it in milk and cookies and cakes and stuff like that. Did you know the vanilla fights cancer? Ooh, mm-hmm. And it increases the libido, Delta Cougar. It increases the it increases the libido. It prevents or treats sickle cell anemia, which people of color have to suffer with. It's also good for your skincare. You can use it in fruit dishes, desserts. We know how to use vanilla. We've been using vanilla for ages. Another one is mint. Now, I'm sure most of you or some of you have heard that mint is good for nausea. It's good for indigestion. It also helps you prevent mental fatigue. It prevents tooth decay. It's good for headaches. And it's also good for irritable bowel syndrome. And we know we can use mint in lemonade. You can have mint in your water, have mint tea. And you can, I use it a lot now that I found out how good it is in my smoothies. And it has a nice taste. And we have some smoothie recipes that we'll share with you later. Cinnamon. Now, cinnamon is another widely used spice that most people have in their spice rack. Cinnamon reduces blood sugar levels, and that's really important where diabetes is racking our communities. It's good for cancer prevention and treatment. It strengthens your cardiovascular system. It builds your immune system. And if you take a half teaspoon a day, it lowers your blood sugar. So you can use cinnamon in oatmeal. It also is good in your coffee. I like it in my coffee. If you go to some of these coffee places, they'll have it on the side for you to put in your coffee. Sweet potatoes, we know how to use cinnamon. Now, here's a good one, turmeric. Turmeric has been tested more than any other herb or spice there is for all of its health benefits. It stops the spread of cancer. It prevents type 2 diabetes. It's good for colds, flu. It helps prevent gas and bloating. It delays Alzheimer's. It lowers your cholesterol. It relieves pain from rheumatoid arthritis. It's a blood purifier. It's an antiseptic. Black Rose cut her leg really bad, and it was bleeding profusely, and we remembered about turmeric, and we just made a little paste real quick and slapped it on the leg, and it stopped the bleeding right there on the spot. It detoxifies the liver if you're having any liver problems. Good also, again, for headaches. It restructures your skin. It improves the condition of your skin. I use this a whole lot. As I said, it's been mostly widely researched natural remedy available. So, oh, and it also aids in weight loss. So you can use turmeric in soups, stews. I've got a golden milk recipe that I will share with you. You can use it in meats and vegetable dishes. I use it in everything. Ginger. Ginger is good for motion sickness, migraines, heartburn. It fights cancer, reduces inflammation. It's good for colds and flu also. And you can use it in smoothies, ginger tea, applesauce, marinade, all kinds of stuff. Cumin. Cumin fights diabetes, helps with digestion. It heals skin problems like boils, eczema, acne, and dry skin. You can use cumin again in soups, stews, and a lot of Indian and Mexican dishes and make creamy sauces. Nutmeg, I'm going to do a segment on nutmeg by itself because nutmeg is really quite powerful. But briefly, it's an antibacterial. It's very popular. It's antidepressant, antifungal. It's an aphrodisiac. Oh, I got two aphrodisiacs in here. It strengthens your cognitive function. It detoxifies the body, and it boosts skin health and it reduces insomnia. It increases your immune system function, and nutmeg also alleviates a toothache. Cloves is good for that too.
I need some nutmeg right now.
You got a toothache?
Oh God, I can't wait to get back home to go to the dentist.
the left side of my mouth has been in pain. I've been down in like 2 BCs a day.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's been horrible. Mm-hmm. I need to go and get some nutmeg.
Mm. Oh, well, actually, if you're going to get some spice, get nutmeg and clove. But clove I've used. You know, clove is used in numbing things, numbing medicine. So I haven't tried the nutmeg, but try the clove first, because I've actually tried the clove and it actually numbs the gums. So get that, and you can use it as a local massage for rheumatic pain and pain in the joints too. So get you some clothes that'll help until you can get to the dentist. And you can use nutmeg the same way you do cinnamon. And lastly, I have cayenne pepper. Everybody knows how good cayenne pepper is. It's good for heartburn, gout, fever, flatulence, sore throat, hemorrhoids, nausea, tonsillitis. And cayenne pepper aids in breaking up and moving congested mucus out of your body. So I use cayenne pepper the way I do turmeric. I put it in everything because I can stand the spice, the hot, and it's good for, you know, colds and flu and migraine prevention. So, you know, you can use cayenne pepper in just about everything too, vegetables, discs. You can even use cayenne pepper in your smoothies because it gives it a nice little kick, and you can make a good cold tea with cayenne pepper. It causes you to sweat too. So if you've got, you know, you congested, you got the colds or whatever, it makes you sweat it out. And you know, thinking of sweat, you know, when you think about sweating and you think about the antiperspirant, you know, antiperspirant keeps you from sweating. You need to sweat because you need to sweat out those toxins in your body. You don't really need an antiperspirant. If you perspire, wipe it away. Perspiring is really a way of your body just telling yourself you're overheated, and the perspiration comes so you can cool your body. Once that perspiration comes out and then the air hits it, it cools your body, cools it down. Perspiring is good, so don't get antiperspirant. So those are my medicines in the spice rack, and most of us have a good deal of these. Use them regularly, and that will improve your health immensely. That is my love the body for tonight.
Love the body, baby. Love the body. I love all of that. Love the body. And you know what? Cinnamon also, I believe I read that cinnamon is also good to take for high blood pressure.
Ah.
So you know how a lot of
cinnamon and nutmeg are very, very powerful. They're very, very powerful. Some of these, like the cinnamon and the nutmeg, I didn't really include everything that it does because it's just takes up a lot of time.
It's just a multitude of things.
Yeah, it's just so much. But I just wanted the audience to know how powerful these everyday herbs are, spices and herbs are. And some of our medicines that are sold to us by the pharmacist, they actually use some of these spices in the medicine, but they combine it with chemicals to help it, you know, work faster.
And they patent a lot of the seeds, too.
That's yes.
They patent the seeds, so. And also with the turmeric, in order for it to be most effective, you have to use the turmeric with an oil. So, like, if you cook with it, then you need to use, like, olive oil or coconut oil or something like that.
Okay, now I need to add something about the turmeric, because I do have a little bit further information on that, because pepper, black pepper, is much more powerful than the oil when you're using it with turmeric. So turmeric and black pepper must be used together in order for it to be as powerful as it can be, because black pepper is an accelerant. It actually speeds up the absorption of turmeric 2,000%. I thought that was a little off. I had to go back and look at that. I thought maybe 200, but it said 2,000%. It speeds up the absorption. So if you're going to take something, you need for it to be absorbed. And the black pepper is what helps it to be absorbed in your body the way it needs to be. So I have a little recipe, which I'll share later, as how to make your turmeric paste. It's a turmeric paste, and you just mix it up together earlier, prior to use. I have some in the refrigerator now. You mix it up together like a half a cup of water, half a cup of a turmeric. I'll give you the recipe later, but you mix it up. You put it in a pot. You heat it up. You stir it together to make a paste. Mm-hmm. You don't boil it. One thing that we do that we're maybe not aware of, I know that I've done it a lot, is that we'll boil things. But once we boil it, that's losing the nutrients out. You mm-hmm. take it off the stove just before boiling, because once you let it boil, I mean, a lot of the benefits are gone. So you heat it up just before boiling, stir it up, make it a nice little paste. Then you put it in a jar, with the top on, and you put it in your refrigerator, so that when you're ready to use your turmeric, you just take a half teaspoon out, put it in whatever you're going to use it in, and it's already there. You don't have to just get the turmeric, get the black pepper, It's already mixed for you. So that's very, very, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to say something about that later. When you're using turmeric, use the black pepper.
Use black pepper.
It's something in the turmeric. It's called curcumin, C-R-C-U-M-I-N. That's what the powerful ingredient is that's in turmeric. And in order for it to work the way it's supposed to, the black pepper is suggested that you put it with the turmeric before put it in your foods.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the love, the body.
You're so welcome.
All right. Any questions? Anybody have any questions about the love, the body? I want to move into, let me play this clip on the teacher sick out and what's been going on here in Detroit. Let me just play. Let's see. Let me play this one right here. And this is just a quick clip explaining what some of the conditions are here in the
school.
School
conditions like this at Spain Elementary prompted Detroit public school teachers to call a sick out several days this week. 64, or roughly two-thirds of the city's public schools, were closed Monday, leaving thousands of students out of the classroom, sparking Michigan's Division of the Occupational
Safety
and Health
Administration
to launch an investigation into Spain Elementary School.
There it goes.
This is our gym wing. We have been told that this portion of the building is off limits to us as of 2 months ago. Our school has been empty like this for about 6 years. We've now been banned from our own playground. No gym, and now no playground.
20 minutes away at Frank Cody High School, Principal Latoya Hall King told the national president of the American Teachers Federation, who flew in from Washington for the meeting, conditions at the school are intolerable, from a rodent infestation to girls' bathroom stalls having no doors, the technology classroom without access to the Internet.
I see a lot of bad situations. This ranks about some of the worst.
Additionally, water leaks at the school, fixed but never sealed.
I've been in this building about 40 minutes now, and I am hoarse. I wasn't hoarse when I walked in. Are you concerned about that for the children?
Absolutely. There's clearly environmental issues when you have leaks in buildings, when you have carpeting that has been leaked upon.
Darnell Early, appointed 1 year ago by the governor to head emergency management for the district, says not all of Detroit's 97 public schools have these issues, and with an accumulated debt of $515 million, they have to make tough decisions on what schools get what improvements first.
financially. We don't have the capacity. And decisions have been made for years about how best to use those dwindling resources. You have to really use a kind of a crystal ball to decide what's the best way to spend these few dollars.
At this Detroit Parent Network Forum Thursday night, teachers got support across the board, but not everyone agreed on the tactic of the sick out.
I believe it's a bad thing for the children. I believe that their education, you know, should have really been really considered and thought about.
Although the community is divided on what to do about very real challenges, and until the district can get money, the students will continue to bear the burden.
What I worry about is losing the teachers and also closing down the schools.
Melissa Mays says the ominous change in the... School conditions like this at Spain Elementary prompted...
Okay, one second. I just want to share this last clip.
These teachers put this together because they are advocates. They're advocates for our students. I have teachers calling me every day. These teachers are in tears and they're crying. And they know our hands are tied by all of the laws that are, made against us. So they're saying, look, enough is enough. We have to do something. We have to advocate for our children. And whatever the consequences are, we're going to have to deal with it. But we have to stop bashing teachers. Teachers are in the classroom with students every day. Every day, and they're calling me, and they're pushing me, and they're, Ivy, we got to do something. I've been talking to the district. I'm only one person, but you know what? We keep telling our members our union is only as strong as its members. Our members are speaking, and we need to start listening.
Wrong is wrong. Whether there is deplorable conditions that teachers have to work through, or whether the deplorable conditions that students have to learn through, it's a deplorable situation. And so we are calling on all of those who have power, whether it's the governor, whether it's the emergency manager, whether it's school system itself, to stand with us, to work with us, and let's end the tragedy that our students have to learn.
Okay, and so that last clip was a clip from a press conference 2 weeks ago, right outside of this school called A.L. Holmes. And let me tell you, some of these schools that we have entered to inspect are so horrible, it would just take your breath away. Mother Zola?
Yes.
Okay. I shared a video with you, and the video showed how in one school, I can't think of the name of this particular, I think it may have been the Spain Elementary School here in Detroit. There's like a bush, I guess you call it a bushel or a bundle. What do you call it? Well, a bushel of mushrooms growing
yes.
out of the wall. Mushrooms.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Growing out
inside.
Of the wall. Inside the building, like in the hallway. So you got mushrooms growing out of the wall like it's some grass. Okay.
Yes.
In some of the schools, the ceilings are falling down on the children's heads while
yeah.
they're trying to do their little work.
Mm-hmm.
On some of the floors where you have like the upstairs restrooms, the toilets are leaking, and so that water has leaked onto the ceiling, and so the ceilings have become weak, and then so the ceiling falls, right? So it's collapsing on the children. You have some classrooms that have windows that can't close. Some schools don't have heat. I've heard of schools not having air, so you're hot in the summertime. But you mean to tell me as cold as it gets here, below zero, 6 degrees, 10 degrees, and you don't have heat in the school? The children sitting in the school with coats on, sitting in the classroom with coats, and they can't even pull out their hands to write because they're cold.
It's unbelievable.
Mold. And the clip that I played where the lady said that she's been in the school for 40 minutes and she's hoarse, she's not lying. I experienced the same exact thing. I went into a school and I just started coughing, like, after about 20 or 30 minutes, and I thought about what Mother Hattie speaks of in terms of the environmental poisoning, because it's like, okay, so we're talking about the people in Flint that have this Legionnaires' disease now because of the lead in the water. Well, these people right here in Detroit, they're also going to have a multitude of problems because of the environmental poisoning, because a lot of these schools have mold in them. And it's terrible. They have asbestos. One coach showed us this room that's closed off because of all the asbestos in there. But you can still, like, smell this funky, horrendous, pungent smell. And it's horrible. The girls' bathroom, like this, the teacher mentioned, doesn't have a door for the stall. Several of the bathrooms are like that. Those bathrooms are so filthy, I wouldn't even want my dog to go in there. And my dogs go outside and do their business. I wouldn't even want my dog to go in any of those bathrooms. And you mean to tell me one of the schools is an all-girls school that I went in to inspect. All this mold on top of the ceiling, it's just horrible. I mean, I could not believe it. I just could not believe it. So not only are the teachers here complaining about the fact that Detroit stole money from them, and I do mean stole money from them, okay, and I'll go through this timeline next. But so not only are the teachers complaining that they haven't had a pay increase in over 10 years, the district asked the teachers to give them $250 each. I think it was a pay period, $250 a pay period, so that they wouldn't so that they wouldn't have to cut their salaries. But they still turned around and cut their salaries. Then they asked each teacher to give like $10,000, which is like $9,500, so that they wouldn't have to cut. Then they still turned around and didn't give. They still turned around. The school system, DPS, still had a pay freeze. So the teachers have gone from making, some of them have gone from making like $75,000 like 10 or 15 years ago to like $60,000 or $55,000, which is nothing up here in Detroit. So I just want to run through this, and then I really want to hear from Mother Hattie, because she's been in the school system, and also she's an environmental activist. So let me run through this. So the teachers,
and don't forget, Black Rose, about some of the teachers have to go in the rooms before the students and stump the mice away.
Or whatever. There's a serious rodent problem in the school. So at some of the schools, the teachers have to come in before the students come in, and they have to just go through the hallways and stomp around so that they can scurry the rats back into their little homes. And one teacher was telling me that there's so many of those huge water bugs that are running around that they're not even afraid of them. She said they just walk up the steps around them just like they do, like, oh, hey, you back? Welcome back.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, it's just like, yeah, we live here, so, you know, you're visiting for 7 to 8 hours a day, and, hey, how you doing? I mean, they're just all around.
Wow.
Roaches.
Oh, my gosh.
Rats running around. Mold. Like they said, no toilet seats on the toilets.
No toilet paper.
I can even go with the toilet paper, because I heard years ago how some of the students at some of the schools have to bring their own tissue and toilet paper. I've heard of that. I could even go with that, but you mean to tell me my child have to go in some filthy, unsanitary bathroom? And let me just roll it back a little bit. The reason why the buildings are unsanitary, because DPS, Detroit Public School System, cut custodial staff. They cut the building engineers, so there's nobody to run the boiler system. So if there's a problem with the boiler system, if it somehow begins to malfunction and then the building could explode with the teachers and children in there, then, oh, well, I guess all y'all little blackies just explode. All you little blackies and Mexicans, you just explode, because there's no building manager. So, wow. I mean, it's just a multitude of problems. And this, it didn't just start last year or the year before. It's been going on for like 10 years. So the teachers, more than 10 years, so the teachers, they're just like, I'm fed up. I mean, I'm not making any money. Then I have to come in and work in these conditions, you know. And uh-huh. many of them really do care about the children. So I spoke with some teachers who said, look, this is the same book. I'm teaching these students out of the same book that I had in school.
Wow.
Okay? Mm-hmm. They're teaching with the same books. No updated textbooks. That's if they have enough textbooks in the classroom. Okay, that's if they have enough textbooks. So some of them don't have enough textbooks for the children. They have classes that are, of course, overcrowded. I mean, that's like normal, just overcrowded classrooms. Can you imagine having 45 first graders or second graders in a classroom? 45.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Mother Hattie, how many, what would you say is an appropriate amount of, say, first graders to have in a classroom?
Probably 20 to 1, or and then having two teachers in there, a teacher and an aide.
So a teacher and an aide.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that would be like 10 or so students per person. To kind of monitor.
Right.
So they have like 45, you know, at the lowest maybe 35 or 37 first graders and second graders and kindergarten.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, and then in one school that I went in, the kindergartners have to take some kind of test that they're required to take, but they don't have the teachers at the school to administer the test and to prep the students for the test. So by Michigan law, these little kindergartners are supposed to be able to take this test and pass the test, but there's nobody to prepare them for the test.
Wow.
So how are you holding them accountable to take this test when you don't have anybody there to teach them? So I just kind of want to run through this quickly, and then we'll move on to Delta Cougar's letter. Because we really need to have a whole show on this, because I could just take up 2 hours on this alone. But in 1994, okay, Proposal A, a school based on per pupil, 7,296 dollars. That's what was allocated per child in Detroit. Okay, and in 1997, an audit by an independent firm concluded that DPS, that's Detroit Public School System, when I say DPS, had significant problems with governance, administration, management, finance, operations. Students score poorly on achievement tests. DPS suffers from high school dropout rates. Now, mind you, remember I just said they were holding these kindergartners accountable for passing the test, but you didn't have anybody there to prep them for the test. So now you want to say, oh, well, look, y'all scoring bad on the test. I guess so, if I don't have nobody to teach me.
Right.
Okay. So then in 1999, Governor Engler signed into law Public Act 10, Education Board Members Appointment of School Reform Board by Mayor in Certain School Districts, provide for Chief Executive Officer of School Districts. It allowed Mayor Archer to appoint a 6-person reform board and a 7th person being the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. When the state takeover took place, DPS had a $100 million fund balance. Also had $1.2 billion of the $1.5 billion bond approval by the voters back in 1994. Academic achievement at moderate levels in accordance with the state. With all of the inadequacies the audit cited, none spoke about performance. 2000. DPS population was about 170,000 students. In 2002, CPS spends $24.1 million to move into the Fisher building, selling the Maccabees building. So the school board was in this building that they actually owned and didn't have to pay any rent on, but the school board decided that they wanted to be in this other building, the Fisher building. It's a really nice building here in Detroit. So they wanted to move into the Fisher building. So they spent $24.1 million so that they can move into this building. So in 2004, the voters of Detroit decided to return power of the schools to the elected board. In 2005, DPS halts teachers' salaries and step increases, vowing that this would keep from reducing salaries and wages. In 2006, a new board was elected and put in place. At this time, the $100 million surplus budget fell to a $200 million deficit. So they went from a $100 million surplus to a $200 million deficit. The school board was charged with fixing this issue. Not being able to in a three-year period leads to another state takeover. DPS reinstated staff steps, but asked teachers to loan them 5 days to be paid back at a later date in efforts to prevent salary reductions. The bond had then been earmarked for projects under state management. In 2009, Robert Bob, the first appointed emergency manager, he becomes the first emergency appointed manager of DPS. Then DPS population, student population, was about 95,000 students. So it went from 170,000 students to 95,000 students in 9 years.
Wow.
Okay. So in 2010, DPS proposed borrowing over the course of 2 years, $10,000 from each teacher in an effort to prevent salary reduction. The state instituted, can you imagine somebody saying, okay, look, let me borrow $10,000 from your salary. Let me borrow $10,000 from your salary. Okay, anyway. Okay, 2010, the state instituted a 3% health care trust to pay for your future care expense fund, which may or may not exist upon your retirement. Okay, so you're paying for this, but now when you retire, you better hope your ass don't get sick, because guess what? You may not have health care.
Okay. Wow.
So it was mandated for all state workers, all of which receive these funds back, except for educators in the state through 2012. The main people you need to be taken care of, because they took care of everybody else. They made sure you can have a job. They made sure you were
multiple foreign objects in the body.
Okay, and then so in 2011, DPS stopped short of the $10,000 they chose to borrow and instituted a 10% pay cut across the board. In 2012, the Education Achievement Authority was instituted in Detroit under Governor Snyder. Its purpose was to turn around Detroit's 15 worst schools. Roy Roberts, appointed as the second EM, emergency manager, of DPS by Snyder. And Governor Snyder promised that this would be the last emergency manager. However, in 2013, Jack Martin was appointed as the third emergency manager by Snyder. So a year later, after he promised that he would not appoint another emergency manager, he appointed one. And then in 2015, that's when Darnell Early was appointed as the fourth emergency manager of DPS by Snyder. Now, mind you, Darnell Early was the, guess who? Emergency manager in Flint that decided on the water switch. Right, so he's here in Detroit talking about the teachers don't care about the Detroit children, but you allowed the children of Flint to be poisoned.
So why are you sitting up here trying to act like you really care about children here in Detroit? You didn't care about the ones 45 minutes away. So why you care so much about these down here in Detroit? So anyway, currently the debt payment is $26 million. Currently the debt payment is $26 million designed to chip away at the $121 million owed for current cash flow issues. An additional $139.8 million is owed for prior operating expenses. With the insolvency debt, the taxpayers are on the hook for $1.5 billion through bankruptcy.
Wow.
Debt payment to increase to $53 million to cover the mounting $515 million debt. Currently, DPS uses $3,019 for debt payment, and the remaining $4,277,000 for school operations. That's 41.4% of the $7,296 per pupil that goes to cover current and legacy debt, which was created under state management. So, in April, I wish I could find this other piece, but in April, what has just come out now is that in April, DPS may be asking teachers to work for completely free, because now Detroit public school system is saying that it's broke, so it's not going to be able, that they won't be able to issue out any paychecks for these teachers.
That's crazy.
So just come
on. And they want to accuse the teachers of not caring.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that's in a nutshell what's going on here in Detroit.
That's unbelievable. That is un-freaking-believable.
Yeah, I want to hear from Mother Hattie, because you've been an educator. So, I mean, the environmental issues, we don't even have to go into the whole money thing, but the environmental issues, did you ever experience anything like that in Minnesota?
No. Those schools are... I don't know how they're allowing them to keep them open if they have that kind of problem. So it's the problems that they have. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that at all.
Yeah.
With fungus growing inside of the building, and you know the rodents and what have you like that. And this is in how many schools that this is happening?
So there are like 97 schools, and I think it's more than half of them.
Oh, my goodness.
More than half. Wow. Yeah, more than half have these deplorable conditions. Now, CBS aired a special. You can just Google CBS Detroit Spain School, and you can see some of the photos. It's horrible.
I don't even have to see the photos. I'm feeling so sad and sick into my stomach just hearing it. I don't want to see them. That children are adults, the teachers and the children are in that situation. It's very unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as disastrous as that situation up there with the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
And with 45 children in a classroom, even if you had the best situation,
uh-huh.
And if you had good and good environmental situation, 45 would be a 45 to and one teacher in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's not manageable. It's just that would be kind of impossible for 45 first graders. And my boys have, my first grader has 26, 27, and it's two teachers in there.
Okay.
Well, one teacher and an EA.
So you're anywhere from 10 to 15 to 1 for a regular first grade classroom is kind of the range that most schools are working from.
Rarely not
15, you know, closer to around 12, 13.
Yeah.
For them to be effective.
Yeah.
Right.
And then in some of the other districts, more affluent districts, of course they have pretty much everything they need. And the teachers are allowed to. This is what shocked me. The teachers are allowed to have 37 massages a year. So the school has a contract, but that particular school system has a contract with some massage parlor where they come in and massage the teachers so that they can be nice and relaxed and everything. But these teachers have to work in these
It sounds like what they're trying to do and what they have let the situation deteriorate to the point where they're going to dissolve that Detroit Public School District and send the children out to the other school districts where the buildings are in repair and then take over the kind of places where those schools are and tear them down and do something. You can believe there is a plan. There's a reason. There is a plan. You got to do, you can look at the Detroit, do they have a five-year plan yet that they're showing anybody, or is it still pretty much whatever industry is in Detroit? What's Detroit? What industry is there?
The auto industry.
That's the only one still there? There's nothing else? Well, you know, like in Benton Harbor, it's Whirlpool.
Yeah,
so they don't have anything else in Detroit other than the auto industry.
Not that I can call off.
Okay, well, there's a reason for it, and there's a plan for it, why they've allowed those schools to deteriorate to that condition. You know, and it all started with the influx of drugs going into those some of those cities, Detroit, you know, that was a big hub for drugs, the crack, and destroy the family, destroy the community.
Yeah.
You know it was bad when they did Rosa Parks like they did her.
Absolutely.
She lived in the inner city of Detroit and was robbed from some drug addict, mugged rather.
He didn't even realize who he was mugging. But we'll pick back up on this story because I do want to talk more about that. Let me see if Delta's still available. Delta, are you still there with us?
Yes, I most certainly am.
You ready for your letter, Delta?
Yes, I am.
All right. Okay. This letter. So, Delta, I don't have your music. next time I will. So, Delta, we have this letter. And this person is writing. Where is this person writing from? This person is writing us all the way from, oh my God, Buffalo, New York. Okay. So,
New York City.
New York City. So this lady says, "Hi Delta, I really need your help. I've been dating this guy for 2 years, and I've been dating this guy for 2 years, and I really need your advice on what I should do next. I wear a variety of weave styles, and he loves to play in my weave. But the weaves are causing my hair to thin on the sides, and I do not want to wear a weave anymore. I want to grow my hair back out. I'm afraid that if I take my weave out, I won't look as pretty to him, and he will not want to play in my hair because it'll be short because I have to start all over and try to grow my hair out. And he's mentioned how he loves ladies with long hair, and I don't want to lose him, but I also don't want to lose my hair. So help me out, Delta. Lost."
Well,
so I guess she wants some help on what she should do about her hair. Should she go head on and go natural, Delta? Or should she keep wearing her weave?
Well, she got to feel secure about herself. So evidently, she's not feeling secure about herself. And there's some low self-esteem somewhere, because she said herself, if she take her weave out, she basically saying she feel like she don't feel as pretty, and he told her how much he like weave. Well, you talking to the weed queen right here.
Weed
queen.
Now,
I love some weed now, but one thing about me, and I have to catch myself sometimes, I do not have a low self-esteem in my body, no kind of way. So the main thing is you got to love yourself. And first, before you can worry about a man in your weed, the first thing, you got to love yourself. Because you got to be able to take your weave off sometimes. And you may need to go out in public. I take my weave off. I go out in public.
You take your weave off, Delta?
Yes, I do, but not long. I takes it off sometimes. And what I do is, when I go out, I make my face up. I put my makeup on and put my little cap on, and I go all over town, all downtown. Because when I look in the mirror after I'm presented myself, I say, "Ooh, you look nice." And that's the type of person I am. Not, it's not that I'm trying to be boastful. You got to feel good about yourself. You don't let, you can't let nobody, you know, look for someone to make you feel good about yourself. You got to feel good about yourself. And evidently, you're not comfort enough to take your own weave off, because he got to like you for you. Because when I first met Papa, and me and Papa met in a grocery store, and I had lost my husband, and I had lost a lot of weight. My nerves was really, really bad. I had lost a lot of weight. I lost about 30-something pounds, or maybe even more. And Papa didn't know that. And he used to go on and on and on and on, you know, talking about how nice, you know, I was, and how nice my face and different things was. I mean, he used to go on and on and on about it. And take this one, I couldn't stand it. I hated it.
He hated what?
He constantly said it over and over again, because I had to get within myself. And I'm saying this to the young lady, I want her to know. First, Papa was saying it a lot to me, and the reason I told Papa, I said, "Okay, listen, if I had an accident and my face got disfigured, are you still going to treat me the same?"
Right.
If I had an accident or something where I can't wear weave, are you still going to treat me the same? And this is what I wanted to let Papa know. You got to like me from deep down within. Don't get so caught up on my looks.
Right. Physical.
Because if something happened to me and you just worried about how I looked on the outside, you'll be gone. So I told him, "No, wait one moment. You got to stop that. It's all right for a man to compliment a woman on her hair, her weave, her looks, the way she dressed, the way she carried herself. But the number one thing is, he gotta like you for you. Mm-hmm. He gotta like you for your personality. And if you want to take your weave off, and he's saying that he like weave, and he don't want you to take it off, then you have the problem. Because you gotta look deeper. You gotta look deeper than and weave on the head.
She do.
Now don't get me wrong, it's all right to look real nice now. Don't nobody love to look more nicer than me. You know, I mean, you know, don't nobody love to look more nicer than me. But I feel good about myself. Don't let a man, you got to have a man to make you whole. I make myself whole.
Uh-huh.
So you can put your, you ought to be able, woman enough to be able to take your weave off yourself and say, hey, I look good. Hey, I feel good.
Uh-huh.
Not for a man to take you, you want him. He telling you he liked the weave. It's nothing wrong with him liking it. It's nothing wrong with him liking it. Let's get this understanding. There's nothing wrong with him liking weed. But you got to have a balance. And don't get so caught up in your weed that your weed cannot come off and then he's not going to be with you anymore because he don't like the way you look. So I said, first, love yourself. And it's all right to please your man if that's what you want to do. To have the weave, to please your man, it's nothing wrong with it. But don't have it where it got control of you and you don't have control of it or yourself. Because you take me, I'm a person, I have always been very, very self-confident. I put my little makeup on and get up there and put my makeup on, and honey, I can walk out, look like I'm looking like $1 million.
$1 million.
And I just have you. The first, you got to get it within yourself. And you know, and a lot of people don't have that confidence within themselves. Mm-hmm. They really don't. But the first place, she got to get herself to feeling good. And hear me again, let me answer the question. It's okay for you to please your man, but it's okay for you to feel good about yourself. And it's okay that if you want to have it on, have it on. But if you want to take a break and have it on, he still should love you for you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because it's not about the hair, because eventually the hair may thin out or gray out or anything. So he's going to have to love you for you.
You're absolutely correct. Because uh-huh. when I met Papa, I gained a lot of weight because Papa loved to cook.
You still small, Delta.
I lost mm-hmm. some teeth. when I get up, I have a wobbling session when I first get up in the morning. I got the wobble to get the kinks and the aches out. Once I get that, eventually I'll straighten out. But yet, Papa and me still here.
Yeah.
When I met Papa. Now Papa ain't gained no
Papa
weight.
Papa got to do some stretches. Y'all got to do some stretches in the morning before you get out that bed.
Yes. Yes, while you're in the bed, do some stretches. You'll feel a lot better once you hit the floor.
Yeah.
So, Delta, should she take the weave out or what?
If she wants to take it out,
it shouldn't be based on
If she wants to take it out. If you
sounds like she wants to take it out.
If young lady, if you want to take it out, take it out. Be yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say that
it's okay to do weed. It's okay to do weed. There's nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it. That's what you want to do.
Don't let the weed do you.
There you go.
Don't let the weed. Don't let the weed do you. Uh-huh. And don't let the weed take control of you.
Yeah. Or your relationship.
You got to. That is correct. Because the weed is taking control of the relationship because she's saying he likes the weed and she kind of want to get a break from it.
Uh-huh.
But she don't want to. If she take the weed out, she's not going to look attractive. That's basically what she's saying.
And that's a dilemma that a lot of women deal with.
I feel good about myself, girl, honey. Ooh, Lord. See, I mean.
But a lot of men do take their women through the rack, through the ringer about their hair. It's some men say, I can't stand that weed. And then when they see a woman with natural hair, oh, she needs to straighten that mess. She can't do that, you know. So I have this stickler about that myself anyway, with men trying to tell women how they should wear their hair. They should. I'm with you, Delta. A woman should feel confident about herself. And if you don't like me with the natural, if you don't like me with the weave, then you're not liking me, you're liking the hair. And as Indy Arie say, what is the song?
I am not my hair.
I am not my hair.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot to me other than my hair. I'm not my hair.
Right.
And see, that's you absolutely correct, Audrey. And that's exactly what I'm saying about the young lady. It's, you know, be yourself. Don't let the hair wear you. You wear the hair.
Right.
#Hashtag
right.
Don't let the hair wear you. You wear the hair.
You wear the hair.
So loss.
Long story short, it's the ball is in your court, young lady. The ball is in your court. If you want to wear your weed, wear it. If you don't want to wear your weed, you take it out.
Right.
But you first get down within yourself. And if he want to be with you, he'll be with you.
That's right.
No matter what.
That's right. And if he don't want to be with you, somebody else will.
Hello. And this may be the fork in the road for you. Take the weave out just to see what's what.
Mm-hmm. I know that's right. Well, all right then. Well,
how you like me now?
I know that's right. Wear your hair, girl. Put your weave in. I know even after almost 20 years of being natural, maybe about 2 years ago, I would sometimes alternate. I would wear my own hair and sometimes have a little weave in there. So you just have to do what you want to do, and somebody will like it. If they don't, oh, well, somebody else will, you know. So that's how I look at it.
You don't need that person.
Mm-mm. Especially if that's all he wants. Well, hell, you go buy you a mannequin with some hair on it and play in her hair. Or go with the hair. And you go be with them. So, well, okay, well, we have to wrap this show up. And thank you, ladies, for opening up the show and holding it down and having this great conversation. And we look forward to being back with you again. Thank you for listening and tuning in to the Lotus Place Radio. Peace, good night, and namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste.